Balglarivsi. Greetings all. Today I will be explaining the Inupiat consonant grid for the North Slope dialect and how you can use it in your learning of the language. If you are an Inupiat language learner, you can find this grid in Edna McLean's North Slope Inupiat Grammar Book, the North Slope Inupiat Dictionary, Wolf Zeiler's Inupiat and Eskimo Dictionary, and at the website that hosts this podcast. And I'm sure there are other places you can find it as well. So if you can, pull it up and follow along. Before I get started with the explanation of this grid, I'm going to start with my own experience dealing with it. When I was learning Inupiat way back in middle and high school, I was always shown this consonant grid. It was a handout that was given to my class by our teacher, and it's basically a table that organizes the Inupiat consonant sounds into rows and columns. So, like a good student, I kept this handout in my folder in case I ever needed it for quizzes and tests, but I didn't really understand what it was for. I mean, what's a fricative? What are velars? What does it mean for those things to be voiceless? I mean, they sound pretty loud and noticeable to me. And this confusion continued even into college, where I continued my language learning, and I just didn't quite understand what purpose it served other than that some very meticulous person decided to organize these sounds into categories. But as I went along in my journey as a language learner, I realized that this organization of these sounds does serve a purpose, and that purpose is to help you and I, the learners, one, know how and where the sounds are created in our mouths, and two, to know what sounds work together and consequently what sounds don't. And although the second purpose is one that I would like to emphasize for the sake of the assimilation and palatalization lesson on this site, I would be remiss if I didn't cover the first purpose. So here is an overview of the terminology of the rows and columns that you see in the grid. Rows indicate how the sound is made. The first row in this grid are stops. Now, stop consonants, the airflow is stopped at some point when the sounds are being produced. In Inupiat, all stop consonants are unaspirated, and I'll explain what that is. The stop consonants are ba, da, ja, ga, ha, and a. Let's go over the first four, and what I'm going to have you do is take your hand, put it in front of your mouth. Don't cover your mouth, just put it in front of your mouth. Now take these four letters and say them as you would say them in English. Pa, ta, cha, ka. So did you notice that there was a puff of air that hit your hand as you were saying these sounds? Well, in Inupiat, when you are saying these letters, that puff of air is not there. And that is what makes these letters unaspirated. So if you hold your hand in front of your mouth and you say ba, da, ja, ga, and ka, and a, that puff of air is not there. It's not hitting your hand. And if you are making these sounds unaspirated, you're not blowing that puff of air out of your mouth, then you know you are saying these sounds correctly. And the last consonant, the little apostrophe, I'm going to explain a little bit more about that later as we go through the consonant grid. The next two rows are fricatives. And in Inupiat, there are two types of fricatives. There are voiced fricatives and there are voiceless fricatives. And with fricative sounds, the way I remember fricative sounds is that there's some sort of friction going on in my mouth as I'm making these sounds. And we're going to start with the voiced fricatives. So I want you to again take your hand, but this time place your hand over your vocal cords and say the voiced fricatives along with me. Va, la, ya, ra, ya, ga, and ga. So notice how your vocal cords were vibrating as you produced those sounds. That is what it means for a fricative to be voiced. Your vocal cords are vibrating as you produce these sounds. And if you do the same with the voiceless fricatives, place your hand over your vocal cords and say the sounds along with me. Hla, hya, sa, hra, and ha. So your vocal cords definitely aren't vibrating nearly as much as with the voiced fricatives. And just real quick, I have a lot of students who have trouble saying hla and hya. And so a tip for making those sounds is, let's start with hla. You're going to lift your tongue up so that is touching the area kind of right behind your front teeth. So lift your tongue up. As you're doing that, just push air out of your mouth. So lift your tongue up, push air, hla. And with hya, do what I just told you to do. Lift your tongue up, push air out your mouth, and then say ya. So ya, put them together, hya. If you're an English speaker, never came across these sounds, that is the way that you produce those sounds. The last row on the consonant grid are nasals. And basically what this means is that air gets forced out of your nasal passages as you're making these sounds. In Inupiaq, the nasals are ma, na, nya, nga. And you will especially notice that these sounds are nasals when you are sick and your nose is stuffed up and you cannot produce these sounds. Anyone who has ever been sick and had a stuffy nose and, you know, your voice sounded funny, you definitely notice that certain consonants are nasals, that they're produced by air going out of your nose. So now we're going to go over the columns of the consonant grid, and the columns indicate where the sound is made in your mouth. So we talked about how sounds are made, now we're going to talk about where they're made. And we're starting with labials, and labials are consonants that are made using the lips. Pa, va, and ma. So notice that they all use your lips to make those sounds. Pa, va, ma. The next column is the alveolar consonants. So if you take your tongue, just like when we made the hla sound, notice that there is a bump behind your front teeth before you get to the roof of your mouth. So in between the roof of your mouth and your front teeth, that is called the alveolar ridge. And alveolars are sounds that are made on the alveolar ridge. And those are da, hla, la, and na. And like I said before, behind the alveolar ridge is the roof of your mouth. It's called the palate. And that is where palatals are made. They're sounds made near the roof of your mouth. And those are cha, hya, ya, and nya. Retroflexes. So the best way that I can explain a retroflex without getting into too complicated linguistic territory is that when you make a retroflex sound, your tongue kind of moves back and forth as you're making those sounds. Those sounds are sa, hra, ra, ya. And then the velars, so notice we're going farther back into our mouth. We started with labials at the lips, at the front of the mouth, we're going back. And velars are made towards the back of the mouth, and those are ga, ga, nga. And then uvulars, even farther back, they're made towards the back of the throat. I like to tell students that when you're making these sounds, when you're practicing these sounds, pretend that you got something stuck back in your throat and you're trying to get it out. Kha, gha. Those are the two uvulars in Inupiaq. Kha, gha. And then the last column are the glottals. The glottals are made in the glottis, which is an opening in the vocal cords. The two glottal sounds in Inupiaq are ha and a. I said before that I was going to explain this last consonant. So on your chart, it's represented as an apostrophe, which is not a letter, which might confuse some of you. Like, what is this punctuation doing in my consonant chart? Well, this apostrophe is called a glottal stop. So remember, a stop is where airflow gets stopped when you're making the sound, and you make the sound as if someone had just poked you in the stomach. The glottal stop is not going to show up a whole lot in the North Slope dialect, but you're more than likely going to come across it at least some point in your learning, so it's good to know what it is and how to make this sound. The glottal stop shows up more in the Upper Kobuk dialect, but that is a lesson for another day. Now, do you need to know this terminology in order to learn Inupiaq? Technically, no. Just like in English, to be an English speaker, you don't need to know which sounds are fricatives and which sounds are nasals. But knowing these gives us terminology to talk about these sounds, to talk about the language. And also, it helps us to understand how and where these sounds are made, especially if we've had no exposure to the Inupiaq language and these sounds are completely new to us. And also, to get on to the lesson on assimilation and palatalization under Module 1 of this site's lesson series, the way that we are going to use this consonant grid is to help us identify impossible clusters. So there are a number of impossible clusters, which basically means, you know, these sounds don't go together. You're not going to find them together. And the way that you use the consonant grid to identify impossible clusters is by seeing which sounds do not share a row. For instance, if you got the stop ba and the nasal nya, those two letters are not going to be next to each other in an Inupiaq word. But ba and ga could show up next to each other. They're both stops. They both occupy the same row. So those two sounds could be found in an Inupiaq word. And also, velars and uvulars are impossible clusters. So the velars are ga, ga, nga, and the uvulars are ka and ra. You will never find any combination of velars and uvulars together in Inupiaq. So as you are creating sentences, as you're taking verb stems and post spaces and verb endings and putting them together, one way that you can identify if you're doing this correctly is by looking at your consonant chart, and if you've got a voiceless fricative next to a nasal, then you know you need to go back and make some adjustments. You need to assimilate. And remember that the rules that I just presented to you in this podcast are specifically for the North Slope Inupiaq dialect. They do apply to most other dialects, but some dialects have different sounds and the rules change a little bit for those dialects. And again, that's a lesson for another day. So in conclusion, the consonant grid is meant to, one, demonstrate how and where Inupiaq sounds are made, and to what sounds work together in Inupiaq words. So if nothing else, use this consonant grid to help you with assimilation until you start to memorize and internalize the assimilation process. Thank you very much for listening. Dara.